يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صلوات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tawbah, ayat number 119, he says, O you who believe, fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and be among those who are sadiqeen. Among those who are indeed known in the Muslim world with this title of sadiq are two. One is the founder of our religion, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the other is the Imam whose name has become our identity, our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. The Imam lived for about 65 years, out of which about 34 years was the era of his imamat. And interestingly, his era of imamat can be divided almost or approximately half and half. The first 18 years he was at the time when the last years of the Umayyad power, and the last 16 years of his life in imamat was during the early years of Banu Abbas. It is this transfer of power, decline of Banu Umayyah, emergence of Banu Abbas, and the time they need to consolidate their power, that middle, you know, passage of time gave him this opportunity to more freely, compared to the other imams, share the knowledge which Allah had given to him with his own followers, the Shias, and the Ummah at large. And that is why we see that the number of the students of Imams surpass all the students of the Imams before and after him. And that is why we see the number of hadith that we have from him are indeed great to an extent that our fiqh is known as fiqh Ja'fari. What I would like to do tonight is basically keeping in mind that we had four funerals in the last 5 days, especially two janazah on the same day today. I decided to select an interesting conversation of our sixth Imam with one of his students, where he is actually questioning the student and hearing the response from the student, where he talks about what is what I would consider to be the priorities in our lives. We are, alhamdulillah, are Muslim, mu'min. We believe in Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, and may Allah bless you, you know, for commemorating and gathering in this event. But this is also a moment that we need to always go back to the teachings of the Imam to know the priority in our lives. We know what is right, what is wrong, what is important, what is not. But sometimes we need to refocus so that we can know and put the things and the, you know, what we do in our life and the purpose of life in the proper order of priorities. This is actually an interesting conversation which has been quoted by Warram al-Hilli, who was the grandfather of Sayyid ibn Ta'us, a very, very famous alim known for his books of ziyarat and du'as. And this is his collection of ahadith known as Tanbihul Khawatir, which is also known as Majmu'i Warram, which is more an akhlaqi collection of ahadith, doesn't deal with fiqh and aqaid. And there it is one conversation, very interesting, that one day the Imam turned to his students. And this is very, you know, many, many teachers would like to see that. After having, teaching their students for many, many years, one day they will say, let us see what you learned from me. Whether it is in form of the quiz or the test or exam. And so Imam turned to his students and he says, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ تَعَلَّمْتَ مِنِّي? You know, what have you studied? What you have learned from me? Of course, not everybody wanted to stand up. And as you know, in the classroom, teachers know not all the students will raise their hand, although we know many of them are capable of responding. But, you know, nobody really had that courage, but one of them stood up and he said, Ya Mawlai, thamana masail. I have learned 8 things from you. And so Imam asked him, Qussaha alayya li'arifuha. You know, describe, narrate this to me so that I may know about it. Now tonight, because of the time, it's kind of a longer discussion. I'll only go through the 4 of them, and not all 8. And this is where we see that although the words are of the student, but it is the imam who is confirming that what he is saying is true. The very first thing he says, قَالَ عَلْأُولَى رَعِيْتُ كُلَّ مَحْبُوبٍ يُفَارِقُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ حَبِيبَهُ. He says, the first thing that I have learned from you is that every entity that a person loves will leave him upon death. I use the word entity because I'm, you know, applying it for items as well as human beings. So anything or anyone that a person loves, when the death comes, those items and those individuals will living. And that person upon death has to go on to the journey of Barzakh and Akhirah alone. فَصَرَفْتُ حِمَّتِي إِلَى مَا يُفَارِقُنِي بَلْ يُؤْنِسُنِي فِي وَحْدَتِي. And so I basically started focusing on something that would not leave me, something that would not abandon me. Rather, something which will become my companion when I'm all alone. في وحدتي. And what is that? وَهُوَ فَعِلُ الْخَيْرِ. That thing which will stay with me, even when I'm alone in the grave, for example, during the time of the barzakh, are my good deeds. All other things that I loved, every person that I loved, they will not be with me there. And this is, we have to realize, you know, all the time. Sometimes when we go to the graveside during the janazah, it is a moment of reflection for ourselves. We recite Surah Yasin for the Isal al-Sawab of the Mu'mineen. Isal al-Sawab means conveying the rewards of reciting Surah Yasin for the Marhumin. There is absolutely no problem in that tradition. Continue it, even do it more. But it's interesting that when you recite Surah Yasin, there is an ayat in there which says that this is a book which has been sent down as a warning for those who are alive. So we read it for those who are dead. No problem there, I'm saying. Isal al-Sawab is important. But while we are reading it and conveying the sawab of reciting Surah Yasin to the deceased, it is also a moment of reflection that Quran is saying, remember, I am for you. When you are alive in the dunya, think about it. Reflect in the words that you are reciting. And this brings me, you know, just as an additional support of this statement of this student of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Ibn Adam kana fi akhir yawm min ad-dunya wa awwal yawm min al-akhirah. Imam says that in the last day of your life in this dunya and coming at the threshold of the first day of your akhirah, مَثَّلَ لَهُ مَالُهُ وَوَلَدَهُ وَعَمَلُهُ. 3 things will, you know, come in front of him. not in the real form, but these are what we call mathala. These are symbolic forms which come for that person in his journey from this dunya to the akhirah. Maluhu wa waladuhu wa amaluhu. His wealth will come in a symbolic form, his children will come, and his good deeds will come. فَيَلْتَفِلُ يَلْتَفِتُ إِلَى مَالِهِ. He will first turn to that form which symbolizes his wealth. And he will say, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي كُنْتُ عَلَيْكَ لَحَرِيسًا شَحِيهًا فَمَا لِي عِنْدَكَ. At that time of death, the person will turn to that symbolic representation of his wealth and mal. He will say, you know, I really loved you. I had this desire for you. I used to accumulate you as much as I could. فَمَا لِي عِنْدَكَ. Now what do you have for me now at this stage? فَيَقُولُ خُذْ مِنِّي كَفَنُكَ. Your wealth will turn to you and say, well, you want to buy your kafan? I am there at your service. But if I may just expand there, you want to buy your grave? I'll be there for it. Any other expenses for your funeral, I will provide for it. But that's the end of the story. Everything else will be inherited by the heirs. It will go to your near and dear ones, but not to you. You cannot take it with yourself in the grave. ثُمَّ يَلْتَفِتُ إِلَىٰ وَلْدِهِ. Then he will turn to his children, his family. فَيَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي كُنْتُ لَكُمْ مُحِبًّا وَإِنِّي كُنْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ لَمُحَامِيًا. He will turn to his family, his children, and he will say, Wallah, I loved you, and I was protective of you, I supported you. فَمَاذَا لِي عِنْدَكُمْ. What do you have for me now in this last stage of my life here? فَيَقُولُونَ نُعَدِّيكَ إِلَىٰ حُفْرَتِكَ وَنُوَارِيكَ فِيهَا. They will say, well, we'll make sure we take you to your grave, and you respectfully dispose you and cover you in the grave. And after that, inshallah, you know, at least one generation will remember. You know, we'll have annual, you know, remembrance at least. Surah Fatiha will be recited, maybe on the day of Eid or other occasions. But gradually the memory also will fade. ثُمَّ يَلْتَفِتُ إِلَىٰ عَمَلِهِ. Then this person will now turn to the representation, symbolic representation of his deeds. فَيَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي كُنْتُ فِيكَ لَزَاهِدًا. Unlike the other two items, now he's saying, by Allah, I used to stay away from you. I was kind of zahid, means I would not really that much be involved in doing good deeds. وَإِنَّكَ كُنْتَ عَلَيًّا سَقِيلًا. And you were really difficult and a challenge for me. But I used to do, and whatever you are now there representing my good deeds, فَمَاذَ عِنْدَكَ. At that time, the good deeds will say, أَنَا قَرِينُكَ فِي قَبْرِكَ. I will be your companion in your grave. وَيَوْمَ حَشْرِكَ. And I will be your companion on the day you will be resurrected and raised back. حَتَّى أُعْرِضَ عَنَا وَأَنْتَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ. Until we will be present to your Lord on the day of judgment. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen says that on the day of Qiyamah, if this person is a good doer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a person to him, a form of a person who will be very beautiful or handsome. And he will say, you know, I give you the good news of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the paradise. قَدْ قَدَّمْتَ خَيْرَ مَقْدَمٍ. You know, welcome, you come to a good place. And so this person will say, who are you? And he will say, أَنَا عَمَلُكَ الصَّالِحِ. I am your good deeds. And this is where we see that, you know, when you talk about the priorities of life, you know, yes, It is very important. You cannot really fulfill your religious duties unless you also take care of your family. To love them is part of our religious teaching. You know, to work hard in order to have a good life for yourself and your family, to become affluent in that sense, fulfill your duties. These are all good things. But then what we have to see is that what we can take with ourselves in the barzakh and the akhirah. That is the priority. And when we have that in our mind, then even these worldly activities will help us to direct it in a way that we will be able to benefit from that in the barzakh as well as the akhirah also. Salawat manik barah. And so this was the first point that the student mentioned. And when Imam heard that, he said, Ahsant, Wallahi. Yes, what you had said is a good thing. It's a good lesson that you have learned. Now tell me the second one. And so he describes the second lesson that he has learned from the teachings of the Imam. And he says, Ra'aytu qawman yafkhuruna bil hasabi wa akharina bil mali wal walad. وَإِذَنْ ذَٰلِكَ لَا فَخْرَ He says, I observed the people around, and I saw that there were some people who would take pride in their ancestry, their lineage, their tribe, that I belong to this family or this tribe, and take pride in it. And there are others who take pride in their wealth that they have accumulated or the children that they have. وَإِذَنْ ذَٰلِكَ لَا فَخْرَ But then I realized that these are not really true bases of pride. وَرَعَيْتُ الْفَخْرَ الْعَظِيمِ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى He says, then I saw that the true pride or the basis of preference is in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, Surah number 49, ayat 13. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Verily, the most honorable among you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is most righteous or pious among you. So he said that I came to realize my ancestry, my wealth, my children, these are not the true basis of my pride. If I really would like to do something, I should build this power of taqwa in myself. That will be the basis of karama and honor and dignity in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran, if you look at this issue, you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about, giving preference to a person over someone else, there are only three standards that he talks about. At least I have not been able to see the fourth one. First, he talks about knowledge, where he says, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Do you think that the people who have knowledge and those who don't have knowledge are the same? No. There is no need to answer that question because the answer is very obvious. So knowledge has been preferred here. Those who have knowledge have preference, higher status, and honor in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or those who are less. Then the second is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about mujahideen, that Allah has faddal Allahul mujahideen al-qa'ideen. Those among the mu'mineen who do jihad, Allah has given them a preference over those who have sat down and not done jihad. So jihad, struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is another criteria. Then the most important one here is the issue of taqwa, the ayat that we recited earlier from this conversation of the student of the imam. But if you look at all these three, knowledge, jihad, and taqwa, you will see that the first two are not really worth in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they are not coupled with taqwa. So if there is ilm without taqwa, there are problems. There is no value in that, knowledge in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you look at the example of Samiri, the person who misguided Bani Israel when Musa alayhi salam had gone away for 40 days. Samiri was a learned person of Bani Israel. But he didn't have that taqwa. Not only that he became deceived by shaitan, but he misguided the majority of Bani Israel. You look at the example of those who were the high priest of Ali Fir'aun. They were learned people, but they didn't have taqwa. You look at the scientists of our days who constantly go on, you know, study and research to come up with weapons which will destroy not this one earth, many, many earths put together. So there is knowledge there, but it is knowledge without that fearing the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in form of taqwa. When you talk about jihad, there have been people in Muslim history who, yes, took up this sword and very brave, people like Khalid bin Walid, but they were immoral people. They did most horrible things as far as the Islamic, values are concerned. But they are, mashallah, known by the Muslims as Saifullah. But this jihad without taqwa has no value at all. And so we see from these three criteria of preference in Quran, knowledge, jihad, and taqwa. Taqwa is the most essential and important one. Salawat, Quran Akbar. Even this one, Imam says, Ahsanta wallahi al-thalitha. Yes, by Allah, you have, described it in a very good way. Now tell me the third one. And this is where he says, رَعِيْتُ لَحْوَ النَّاسِ وَطَرْبُهُمْ وَسَمِعْتُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. He says, I saw the people busy in their enjoyment and frivolous activities. Activities which will, divert them from the main goal of life. But then he says, and then I saw this ayat of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَمَّ مَنْ قَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَحَ النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person who fears the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prevents himself from evil desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَىٰ. Indeed, Jannah will be the final abode for that person. And so again here, the issue of taqwa comes in. خاف من خاف مقام ربه. Somebody who has this fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who is, afraid of the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, he prevents himself from the evil desires. The Jannah is his abode. فَاشْتَحَتُ فِي صَرْفِ الْحَوَىٰ عَنْ نَفْسِي. He says, then I, looking at this ayat, I tried my best to divert the evil desires from myself until I became firm. استقرت على طاعة الله. Until my soul was basically firm in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam doesn't say you should not enjoy life. Islam doesn't say you should not get involved in fun activities which are halal. As long as things are done within the bounds of the Sharia, it's okay. But always keep that ultimate goal in mind. That these issues should not be such that, it diverts us from the priorities. We just had Namaz al-Jumu'ah today. If you look at the second half of Surah Jumu'ah, that actually gives us the balance that we need to maintain in whatever, joyful activities that we do which are halal. In the ayat about the Friday prayer, it says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, when the call is made for the Friday prayers, and of course there is discussion who should be the caller. That's where we talk about the presence of the Masum Imam. You know, when that is done, then فَسَعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, hasten to the remembrance of Allah in form of the Friday prayer. Quickly go for the Friday prayers, وَضَرُوا الْبَيْءِ, and leave alone your business and trade at that time. Islam doesn't say don't do business and trade. This ayat is telling you there is a time for prayers and there is a time for work. There is a time for prayer and there is a time for your own personal enjoyment. As long as you maintain that balance, you are fine. And then, because the next ayat is more important, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتَ الصَّلَاةُ, when the Friday prayer is done, فَانْتَشُرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, go and spread out in this wide earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for you. You know, وَابْتَغُ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, and seek the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after namaz, Allah says, go back to your business and your work. But immediately He reminds, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, but remember Allah often, even when you are in your business, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَفْلِحُونَ, so that you may hopefully succeed. When we look at this ayat, basically this is where we are told that, you know, the time of namaz is the time of namaz, and the time of our other activities are other activities. And that balance should be created. Because the following ayah talks about this example. During the days of the Prophet, that there were people in namaz-e-jumah, Rasulullah is there doing his khutbah, and right at that time, a trade caravan came into the city of Medina, and they, when they used to come, they used to announce their arrival by beating the drums. And people started actually getting up, abandoning the khutbah of Rasulullah and going for that trade caravan. Where the Quran says, "Tarakuka qa'ima." You know, they went towards this entertainment and tijara and business, and they left you alone. Not literally. There are just few people there. And the ahadith say that the Prophet said if the number had even gone down less than what they were there, azab would have come on Medina. And so this is where we have to realize that, you know, as long as we create this balance, and know that the ultimate goal is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever we do, if the balance is created, we know the priorities, then inshallah we will be successful in this dunya as well in the akhirah. Salawat pranay kbara. Again, Imam says, Ahsant, Wallahi, Ar-Rabi'ah, the fourth one. So he goes on. He says, رَأَيْتُ كُلُّ مَنْ وَجَدَ شَيْئًا يُكْرَمُ عِنْدَهُ اِشْتَحَدَ فِي حِفْظِهِ. He says that, you know, I saw whenever a person acquired something or found something that was precious to him, you know, he would really try hard to protect it so that it's not lost or it's not taken by somebody. But then he says, I saw this ayat of Quran, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفُهُ لَهُ وَلَهُ أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. He says that I saw this ayat of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who will give a loan to Allah, a good loan, قَرْضِ حَسَن. قَرْضِ حَسَن means the loan in which you don't charge interest. It doesn't mean the loan which has not to be paid back. There's a lot of confusion in our community. Our people in general think, oh, qarz-e hasan means I don't have to pay back. No, this is qarz-e hasan. It is a good loan because there is no interest attached to it. But it is a loan which must be paid back. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you give qarz-e hasan to somebody, a mu'min or a mu'mina, it is as if like you are giving a loan to me. And when you give a loan to me, I am going to multiply it. Give you compounded interest, but not your in bank account here, in your credit in the Akhirah. So he's going to pay you the interest if you want, but not here. And so he says, this fellow says, when I look at this ayat, فَأَحْبَبْتُ الْمُضَاعَفَ وَلَمْ أَرَ أَحْفَظْ مِمَّا يَكُونُ عِنْدَهُ. So I wished for the extra, to get more than what I have. And I couldn't think of my investment to be more secure than what is placed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most secure place that I see, is that if I leave my investment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so whatever I acquire, something that is precious to me, you know, I transfer, وَجَّحْتُ بِهِ إِلَيْهِ, I transferred it to Allah so that it can be a secure deposit for me at a time when I need it on the day of Qiyamah. Salawat par nek barar. I think it was either the fourth Imam or the sixth Imam, I don't have it on my notes here, that once he was in the evening going with a bag, and a companion saw him, he said, "Where are you going?" And he says, "I'm going, this is some luggage that I would like to convey for my destination." So he said, "Can I help?" He said, "No, it's not for you to help, no." And then when Imam came back, he has nothing. So he asked, "What is it?" He said, "Well, you don't know. I have given it. This is what I do for the fuqara. When I hand it over to them, actually I'm handing it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's going to pay it back to me on the day of Qiyamah." So the most secure deposit we can have is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the fourth, you know, statement from this student of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. The other four, inshallah, we'll leave it for some other time. What I would like to do is go to another story of the Imam, very much related to this issue of how to, you know, ensure yourself and your property with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't mean to say don't buy insurance here in dunya, no. You do your part, and then you do leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually a narration by Sheikh Saduq from his chain of narrators going all the way to Imam Ridha alayhi salam. It's Imam Ridha who narrates a story of his grandfather, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. He says one day he was traveling with a group of people. Most of them were merchants carrying their merchandise for their trade. Somewhere along the way, some travelers were coming from the opposite side, and they told them that, "Well, be careful, because where you are going further now, there are some armed robbers, and they are looting the caravans and taking their things." When they heard that they became very much afraid. But since the Imam was with them, they went to the Imam and said, "You know, can we ask you to keep our goods with yourself?" The Imam said, "Why?" They said, "Well, we are afraid, you know, maybe if we leave it with you, when the robbers come and they come to realize you are a descendant of the Prophet, you know, they will probably not touch your things. So our goods also will be protected." Imam said, "But who guarantees that? Maybe they will come first to me. Maybe they think very negative about me and they will take everything that I have." So they said, "What should we do? Should we just bury it here and then come for it later on?" Imam said, "No. If you bury it here, you know, who knows? Somebody might discover it. You wouldn't be able to find it when you come back. So they basically asked him, please guide us what to do. And this is where the Imam says, أَوْضِعُوهَا مَنْ يَحْفَظُهَا وَيَدْفَعْ عَنْهَا وَيُرْبِيهَا. He says, you know, entrust your merchandise to someone who is going to guard your goods, even multiply them, and make each portion greater than what you have in this dunya and the akhirah. And he will even increase your profit. And they said, well, who are you referring to? And he says, ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Entrust whatever you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, how do we do that? Imam said, well, give sadaqah to the poor Muslims. They said, but Imam, we are in somewhere, we are not in a town here. There are no fuqara of Muslimin here, no faqir at all, no poor. Then Imam says, فَعَظِمُوا عَلَىٰ أَن تَتَصَدَّقُوا بِثُلْثِهَا لِيَدْفَعَ اللَّهَ أَن بَاقِيهَا مِمَّا تَخَافُونَ. He says, make a pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that from whatever you have here, one third of it you will give in sadaqah for the poor and the needy when you reach to the point of safety, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may protect your wealth. When they did that pledge, that we pledge that we will, you know, spend one third of whatever we have for the poor and the needy, Imam said, فَعَنْتُمْ فِي أَمَانِ اللَّهِ. Now that you have done this pledge, you are in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where, when the bandits then came, they got, you know, scared again when they saw them coming close. And Imam said, why are you afraid? وَعَنْتُمْ فِي أَمَانِ اللَّهِ. You shouldn't be afraid. You are in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they saw that the chief of this group of, you know, armed bandits and the robbers, they came directly to the Imam. He came, did salam, kissed the hands of the Imam, and he said, you know, last night I saw the dream. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came in the dream ordering us to go and meet you, introduce ourselves, and guide you and your caravan all the way to its destination. The things completely changed there. And when they reached their destinations safely, you know, they fulfilled that pledge of giving one third of whatever they had for the poor and the needy. Then they went about with their business, you know. For each dirham that they had in their merchandise, they actually got 10 dirham in profit. And they used to say very happily among themselves, مَا أَعْظَمُ بَرَكَةِ الصَّادِقِ. What great is the blessing of a sadiq, alayhi salatu wassalam. Salawat. This is where you basically, if you're really looking for a secure deposit for your wealth, it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this dunya, as well as in the akhirah. And when they said, you know, مَعَظُمُ بَرَكَةِ الصَّادِقِ, Imam said, قَدْ تَعَرَّفْتُمُ الْبَرَكَةِ فِي مُعَامَلَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ. Now you know the benefit in dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَدُومُوا عَلَيْهَا. So maintain that relationship and deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat upon Nabi Barara. When we say we are Ja'fari, we are followers of the mazhab of Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. The lesson that we are getting from the student of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, who describes these things in his presence, is the issue that let us have our priorities in the right place. Do not ever forget the purpose of life, the ultimate goal. and be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in your worldly affairs. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless in the ways that we do not even comprehend. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam ke naam se hum apna ta'aruf karte hain. Apne ko hum Jafari kehte hain. Hamare center ka naam bhi hum rakhte hain Jafari. Chhate imam ke zamane mein bhi log apne ko Jafari kehte the. Ek hadith hai jisme imam kehte hain ke apne ek sahabi se ki ja ke apne doston ko ye hamara paigham pahuncha dena ke ye kuch sifat hai jo tum mein honi chahiye. Sach bolna tumhari khaslat honi chahiye. Amanatdari tumhare quality honi chahiye. Dusron ke sath sile rahmi karna rishtedaron ke sath ye tumhara farz hona chahiye. دوسروں کے ساتھ نیکی کہنا کرنا جو فقیر ہیں جو مسکین ہیں یہاں تک کہ وہ لوگ جو آپ کے مخالف ہیں ان کے ساتھ بھی نیکی کرنا یہ در حقیقت صفت ہے ان لوگوں کی جو اپنے کو جعفر صادق کہتے ہیں فالوورز آف جعفر صادق کہتے ہیں آخر میں ایک جملہ امام فرماتے ہیں لمبی حدیث ہے وہ کہ دیکھو یہ نہ ہو کہ تمہارے عمل کی وجہ سے لوگ کہیں کہ آہ دیکھو یہ جعفر صادق کا فالوور ہے اس لیے کہ پھر تمہارے برائی کی وجہ سے ہمارے نام پر جو ہے ایک اثر پڑتا ہے امیج ہمارا جو ہے وہ نیگیٹو ہو جاتا ہے بلکہ ہونا یہ چاہیے کہ اگر انسان تم میں اگر خوبی دیکھے اور نیکی دیکھے تو وہ کہے کہ ہاں یقیناً یہ جعفر صادق کا فالوور ہے اور تمہاری اچھائی جو ہے اس کا اثر ہمارے نام پر پڑے گا تو یہ نام جو ہے یہ صرف ہمارا آئی ڈی کارڈ نہیں ہے عملی طور پہ ہمیں یہ ثابت کرنا ہے یہ جو بات ہوتی ہے کہ ہم اپنے پرائیورٹیز کو ہمیشہ ذہن میں رکھیں خصوصاً نماز کی جو بات ہوتی ہے سورہ جمعہ کے جو سیکنڈ ہاف کے جو ہم نے مثال دی ہے اس میں بھی دیکھیں آپ کو نماز کو کتنی اہمیت دی گئی ہے کہ نماز کے ٹائمنگ اور اس کی پابندی کرنا بہت اہم ہے اس سے تمام چیزیں بقیہ جو ہے کین ایزیلی کم انٹو پلیس ورنہ پورا ہمارا اسکیجول جو ہے وہ میس اپ ہو جاتا ہے زندگی میں جو ہمارا تصور ہے کہ ہم کس لیے آئے ہیں کیا کر رہے ہیں وہ سب اس میں جو ہے پھر کلیریٹی ختم ہو جاتی بلکہ امام نے اس جملے کو اس وقت بھی کہا ہے نماز کی اہمیت کے بارے میں اپنے آخری وقت میں منصور دوانقی جو بہت ہی پاورفل خلیفہ تھا بنو عباس کا ابتدائی دور میں اور بہت ہی جابر و ظالم بھی تھا خصوصاً اس کو آل علی کے ساتھ سخت دشمنی تھی اس نے جب دیکھا کہ امام کو کسی بھی لحاظ سے انفلوئنس نہیں کر سکتا ہے تو ریسٹرکشن لگانا شروع کر دیا اور آخر میں امام کو در حقیقت زہر کے ذریعے شہید کیا گیا ہے اور جب زہر امام کو دیا گیا ہے اور اس کے بعد جو امام کی طبیعت جب خراب ہوئی ہے وہ دن جو آیا جو وفات کا دن تھا امام کے لیے امام جناب حمیدہ خاتون ان کی جو زوجہ تھی ان سے کہتے ہیں نہ صرف گھر والوں کے لیے بلکہ وہ فرماتے ہیں کہ ہمارے ہمسائے میں بھی ہمارے ماننے والے جو ہیں ان کو بھی بلاؤ اور اس کے بعد ایک وصیت کرتے ہیں جس میں فرماتے ہیں کہ یاد رکھو یہ جناب حمیدہ راویاں ہیں اور دوسرے اصحاب بھی جو نقل کرتے ہیں اس روایت کو کہ شفاعتنا لا ینال من یستخف بالصلاۃ وہ بندہ جو نماز کو ہلکا سمجھتا ہے دیکھیں یہ نہیں کہا کہ جو نماز کو ترک کرتا ہے جو نماز نہیں پڑھتا ہے بلکہ نماز کو خفیف سمجھے ٹیکس نماز لائٹلی ہی ڈز اٹ لیکن جب پرائیورٹیز کی بات آتی ہے دوسری چیزوں کو زیادہ پرائیورٹی دیتا ہے امام اتنے سختی سے اس بات کو بیان کرتے ہیں کہ ہماری شفاعت ان کو نہیں پہنچے گی کہ جو نماز کو خفیف سمجھتے ہیں امام کے جب وفات واقع ہوئی ہے شہر مدینہ میں زہر تو دیا گیا تھا لیکن بہرحال ظاہری طور پہ جو رکھ رکھاؤ تھا حکومت کا بھی اور مدینے والوں کا امام کا جنازہ جو ہے عزت سے اٹھایا گیا اور وہ قبرستان جو اس زمانے میں آباد تھا اب تو ویران ہو چکا ہے، جس کا نام ہے جنت البقیع، وہاں امام کو احترام کے ساتھ جا کے دفن کیا گیا۔ ہم جناب حمیدہ خاتون اور امام موسیٰ کاظم علیہ السلام کی خدمت میں جمع ہیں کانڈولنس کے لیے، اور پرسے کے لیے صرف ہم ایک جملہ کہنا چاہیں گے کہ جناب حمیدہ خاتون، آپ کے لیے یہ ممکن تھا کہ امام نے کہا کہ گھر والوں کو جمع کرو، بلکہ ہمسائے میں بھی جو شیعہ ہیں ان کو جمع کرو تاکہ ہم وصیت کر سکیں، لیکن کربلا میں جناب رباب کے منظر کو ذہن میں رکھیں، وہاں حسین اس طرح سے وصیت نہیں کر سکتے تھے، چاروں طرف سے گرے ہوئے تھے دشمنوں کے نرغے میں، بلکہ آخر میں امام نے اپنی ایک جگہ قرار دی تھی جو مرکز بناتے ہیں اور ہر حملے کے بعد وہاں پہ آ کے رک جاتے تھے اور بلند آواز میں لا حول ولا قوت الا باللہ العلی العظیم کا نعرہ بلند کرتے تھے۔ جب بھی یہ آواز بلند ہوتی تھی زینب کو یقین تھا کہ باپ بھائی جو ہے زندہ ہے، رباب کو معلوم تھا کہ ابھی میرے سر پہ سایہ موجود ہے، سکینہ کو یقین تھا کہ بابا ابھی زندہ ہے، لیکن ایک وقت آتا ہے کہ جی آواز بند ہو جاتی ہے۔ وہاں کوئی سرانے نہیں تھا کہ جس طرح سے جناب موسیٰ کاظم اور دوسرے بھائیوں نے وہاں جمع ہو کر امام کے آخری نصیحتیں سنی ہے، بس عابد بیمار کے اس منظر کو یاد کرے کہ جب پھوپھی نے آ کے شانے کو ہلایا ہے، کہا کہ بیٹا آنکھ کو کھولو اور دیکھو یہ کیا آواز بلند ہو رہی ہے۔ جیسے ہی خیمے کے پردے کو اٹھایا گیا امام کی نظر باہر جاتی ہے، دیکھتے ہیں کہ ایک نوزہ بلند ہوا اور بابا کا سر نظر پایا، بس یہی سلام کرتے ہیں، السلام علیک یا ابتا، السلام علیک یا ابا عبداللہ، اللہ لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین، سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون۔ خداوند اس قلعے کے بعد قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما۔ خداوند شیعان علی جہاں جہاں ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ، تکفیری افواج اور دشمنان اہل بیت جہاں بھی ہیں ان کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم، ماتم حسین۔